Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Now get two sausage McMuffin with egg sandwiches for just $5. That's right, $5. And with many locations opening at 5 a.m. or earlier, your morning starts when you do. Order ahead on the app, skip the wait, and grab your breakfast on your schedule. It's mornings made better at McDonald's. Price and participation may vary. Must opt into rewards.
News Talk Breakfast with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, the time is 8 minutes past eight. Pope Francis passed away yesterday after 12 years as the leader of the Roman Catholic Church, triggering an outpouring of mourning from across the globe. And joining us to reflect on his legacy are Gerard O'Connell, Vatican correspondent from America Magazine and author of The Election of Pope Francis, an inside account of the conclave that changed history, and Bishop Dennis Nulty of Kildare and Loughlin. You're both very welcome to the programme this morning. Gerard, I might come to you first of all. You yourself knew Pope Francis well. I'm sure it's a very sad day for you personally, but tell us a little bit about the man as you knew him.
Well, I've known him for more than 20 years. He was a man who was always interested in you as a person. And I'm not just speaking about myself, but also I know this is the same from many other people who knew him. He was always interested in your life, what you were doing, what difficulties you had, what dreams you had. And he was always a person who was ready to come to help you if he could. This became clear. I saw many times in our own family life that he was there in moments of difficulty, and he was there also in moments to rejoice at various things. He was a person who liked being close to people. He took the name Francis, and he always recalled that Saint Francis said, "You preach the gospel by doing things, and if necessary, you use words." And Francis was a person who did things.
And he did do things compared to other popes, didn't he? He was a man who showed, I suppose, his background. He himself was the son of immigrants. He was a Jesuit, but he showed humility. He didn't live in the fanciest of papal apartments. He didn't wear flamboyant clothes, a little bit different than Pope Benedict before him. He was kind of a simple man in his own tastes and needs. Is that fair to say?
Yes, he was, I would say, one of those originals that history throws up from time to time. He was a man who, from the beginning, lived a simple life. And in fact, his funeral, which will take place probably on Saturday, has the mark of simplicity as well. He's now in the Vatican guest house, Santa Marta, where he lived since his election, in a small three-room apartment. And he's now in a single coffin. His predecessors all were in three types of coffins, one inside the other. But Francis said, "No, I want to be buried as a simple Christian would be buried."
Okay. The papal conclave, there are people who say that he loaded it in his own way so that his legacy, and I wouldn't mind hearing what you think his legacy might be, that his legacy might be preserved. He was something, some people said he didn't go far enough, but he was something of a reformer pope, wasn't he?
Absolutely. But remember, John Paul II, in his 26 years as pope, practically all but a few of the cardinals who elected Benedict were cardinals appointed by John Paul II. Now, Francis, 110 out of the 135 cardinals who will go to elect the Pope at the beginning of May.
These are the ones who are under the age of 80 so that they are eligible to vote.
Exactly, under the age of 80. There's about 250 cardinals in all, but about half of them are over the age of 80. Those 110 out of the 135 are cardinals chosen by Francis. In other words, he's chosen about 90% of the electors.
The funeral, you mentioned it's going to be a simple funeral. I've seen some of the ritual that's happening in the Vatican currently, the sealing of the papal apartment with the ribbon and the wax and all of that, those kind of rituals that have been handed down for hundreds of years. But you think, will this break slightly with tradition, this funeral? What can we expect?
Well, it's going to be very simple. In the past, when the Pope died, and we saw this with Benedict, we saw it with John Paul II, he was taken into the basilica, and that will happen this evening. And then he was put on a dais, on a kind of a catafalque, dressed in the papal robes. Francis, we will see him in the coffin. He didn't want that kind of exhibition, as it were. People will see him in the coffin. There are already photos of this being circulated now. And then he wanted the funeral to be as simple as possible. He decreed that his body would be taken from here, from the Basilica, St. Peter's. The funeral will be on the steps of St. Peter's Basilica, and to take him to St. Mary Major's. And that's another basilica to Our Lady, about 10 minutes car drive from the Vatican. And he will be buried there. Seven other popes in history have been buried there. But it's the place he always went to pray. And he said, my tomb, I only want a simple tomb, and on it one word, Franciscus, Francis.
Look, thank you very much for joining us on all of that about your friend, Pope Francis. That is Gerard O'Connell, their Vatican correspondent for America magazine and author of The Election of Pope Francis, an inside account of the conclave that changed the world. And as I say, we're joined now by Bishop Dennis Nulty of Kildare and Loughlin. Good morning to you, Bishop. Firstly, your reflection on the legacy, perhaps, of Pope Francis, particularly in relation to Ireland.
Certainly, Ciara, lovely to talk to you and your listeners on News Talk this morning. It's hard to believe it's just really barely 24 hours since we got the news here in Ireland. In fact, I think it was around half 8, 20 to 9. So it's all very fresh for all of us. There's a shock, there's a suddenness, there's a sadness there. Look at his legacy for Ireland. I think, first of all, I think the greatest legacy perhaps will be how he dealt with his own illness. We know he didn't like the idea of using a wheelchair, yet he showed tremendous resilience in turning up to the balcony of St. Peter's to give the special Easter blessing. And that was such an important moment for him on Easter Sunday. He also, in coming to Ireland, his legacy for us, I think, is the focus on family. A strong theme during the life of Pope Francis was on family, the fundamental importance of family and marriage for society and our church. And he came to Dublin, I think it was about a 30-hour visit, Ciara, a short enough visit, and it wasn't a state visit, it was a visit particularly for the World Meeting of Families. And encounter is a key part, I think, of his legacy. He went to the Capuchins.
Yeah.
That was a wonderful moment.
Quite representative of him as a man from what it would seem, that he went to talk to the poorest. He went to talk to those who...
Totally.
He wasn't on a big plinth somewhere sort of pontificating,
totally.
if you forgive the pun.
It ticked the box of the man Francis from Argentina was. He went to the homeless. Okay, he also had to go to some other, like he went to the Phoenix Park. He spoke to state representatives. He did many other, but he also spoke to couples in the Pro Cathedral, another encounter moment with young couples preparing for the sacrament of marriage. He went to Knock then to pray the angels and pray with the people in Knock. And critically important, he met survivors of abuse. And survivors of abuse felt, he listened to them, he heard them. And that's such an important one for people who've had a horrendous trauma in their lives. And that's something in church we will always carry with us, the trauma that people have suffered. And Pope Francis made it his time. And when he made it his time to visit them, I think in the Nunciature, the evening of the Festival of Families in Croke Park, he then rewrote the Penitential Act for the following, the Mass on the Sunday, the final day of the World Meeting of Families in the Phoenix Park.
And can I just ask you a last question? I think he was very fondly viewed by most people within and without the church. Did he go far enough? I know he was seen as a reformer, but you mentioned things like abuse there, you know, and families. In terms of his views on women within the church, in terms of what he actually did practically for those who were survivors of abuse, did he follow through on those kind of reformer ideals fully, do you believe?
I think it's important in church, all of us, and in life, we do our best for the time we are given. I think Francis did a huge amount. He appointed women to key posts in the Curia that never would have happened before. He appointed a French sister, to the key post in the whole synodal process, which is part of Francis's great legacy, I think, as well. Do any of us do enough? We probably don't, because it's God's church, not ours. And all of us are passing through. Francis did a tremendous amount, and I have no doubt the Pope who follows him will build on that legacy.
Look, thank you very much for joining us this morning. That is Bishop Dennis Nulty of Kildare and Loughlin. Jonathan, I don't know if you've seen the front of the Irish Times this morning. There is a wonderful photograph of Pope Francis there, and it honestly looks like a Caravaggio painting. It's really quite a stunning photo, but we'll be bringing you obviously more throughout the day here on News Talk on the passing of Pope Francis, and indeed on what happens next in terms of the conclave and those funeral preparations. We just heard there from Gerard O'Connell that we expect the funeral to take place this Saturday, and a simple affair in Vatican terms as well.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.